Hello, this is Julie from Flourish in Spirit. My podcast today is called Father's Tears. Today I'll be reflecting on aspects of the compassion of God as found in the Old Testament. And at the end there will be a time of sensory and contemplative prayer for the current COVID-19 pandemic. Now you'll need a few things for this sensory prayer if you want to take part in that. You'll need a bowl of water, a sponge or a flannel.
I wonder what you think God is like. If you were to imagine him, what would he be like? Do you imagine a God with feelings, emotions, who can relate to human beings? Or do you see him as distant, unemotional, disconnected from the world? Many people have that view of God as being impassive, without emotions. The 13th century philosopher priest Thomas Aquinas described God as the unmoved mover, God who doesn't feel or react emotionally to human beings. But in many ways, this view of God has more to do with the pagan philosophies of Aristotle and Plato than with the God portrayed in the Bible. That view of God as being disconnected would have been quite alien to the ancient Hebrew mindset of the Old Testament, and is a contradiction of the God as man that we meet in Jesus in the New Testament. The Bible speaks again and again of a God who reacts to human beings with a full range of emotions. Sadness, sorrow, anger, joy, love. I wonder which of these emotions you associate with God. Some people, when they think of God, they think of the word anger. An angry headmaster with a stick ready to punish them at any small disobedience or infringement of the law. But in fact, that's not the strongest picture that we get as we read the Bible. And in fact, God himself doesn't describe himself like that. When he's speaking to Moses, he says, I am, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And so you notice in this quotation from Exodus 34, chapter 6, God's repeating that word love twice. He's also got that word faithfulness and forgiveness. And he says he is slow to anger, but he is abounding in love. The love is the big picture. And in fact, in the Old Testament, we have two prevailing pictures of that God of love. One of them is God as Father to the nation of Israel. He calls himself Father. He calls them my child or my son. It's a picture of care and provision and love that we get throughout the Old Testament of this Father God. He's intimate with his people. He wants to be close to them. He likes spending time with them. And the other picture we get is of a husband. Through Moses, he forms a covenant, a promise with the children of Israel, like a marriage promise. He's passionate about them in the same way that a husband, we hope, would be passionate about his wife. He is a God, again, who provides, who cares, and who wants to be intimate, close, a God of love. And as we think about the God of compassion, a compassionate God, we see that there are many expressions of this in the Old Testament. The definition in the online Cambridge English Dictionary of compassion is a strong feeling of sympathy and sadness for the suffering of others and a wish to help them. And the word sympathy is all about feeling with other people, feeling their feelings. But I really feel that God is compassionate to us today. He sympathises with the difficulties that we're experiencing today. When I was praying with the whole situation of the coronavirus a week or so ago, I just had a real sense of God's compassion for the world, that he wasn't looking the other way, but that he was feeling the pain with us, just like that loving father who feels the pain with their children, a husband who feels the suffering of his wife. And I had this picture of the world and God weeping with us, crying, and his tears pouring down from heaven into the world, in amongst us, upon all of us. There's a lovely parallel of this in the book of Jeremiah, where God says, let my eyes run down with tears night and day. Don't let them stop, for my dearly beloved people have been crushed with a mighty blow and with a sorely infected wound. And in many respects, that describes a little bit of what it feels like today in the world with this virus. A lot of us are experiencing the effect of it like a heavy blow, like an oppression, a shock even. Some of us are feeling the pain of it like that sorely infected wound. What if you can connect with those feelings with the coronavirus? In a very simple level, for me, I'm coping quite well with having to stay at home. As some of you already, if you've listened to my previous podcast, know that when I had ME for 15 years, I spent most of that at home and quite a lot of that in some form of self-isolation. But I do find when I watch the news and I see the suffering and the pain, I feel quite oppressed. I feel the heaviness of the pain that people are going through. And I actually find going shopping quite difficult. In our local supermarket, I find the restrictions quite hard. For me, they're quite oppressive. I'm quite sensitive to rules and can get quite anxious about them. But I don't think it's just that. It's when you go in, there's a kind of deathly hush. And there's not the laughter, there's not children running about, there's not families arguing, there's not couples saying what we're going to get. And we're all working so hard keeping our 2 meter distance that it's quite difficult. And it's almost like there's so much concentration going on. We're trying to keep a 2 meter difference from each other in aisles that are really not much larger than 2 meters. So we're kind of dancing around each other. But then everything's being moved around in the supermarket. So you're trying to find the sort of cereal that you normally buy and it's not there. And you're like, oh, so what shall I have now? Right, so then you have to think again what you want. And then in some aisles where you're going to get what you want, somebody else is there. So you kind of wait. And it's really good. It's really good that we're all doing this. But I just find it quite oppressive and quite difficult. It's almost like in the air, you can feel people's apprehension. And of course, it's really good that we have these restrictions. So there isn't panic buying. And so there's enough for everybody. And it's really good that we keep 2 meters apart to stop the spread of the virus. But all these new ways of having to behave can feel quite strange and unnerving to us. And I just tend to find shopping quite oppressive. I've only done it a couple of times, so maybe the more I do it, the less I will feel that. I wonder if there's any aspects of the situation that you find oppressive, that you feel is like a heavy blow. You think about a heavy blow when it hits you, you're kind of reeling. You might get a headache, you might feel dizzy. You might not be able to think straight, and that sense of oppression or pressure or frustration. And those words from Jeremiah speak of feeling wounded, of having an infectious wound. Of course, the word infectious will make us think about the illness that it seems to be so easily passed from one to another. And so then we become a bit anxious about each other. But then there's also that sense of woundedness, of pain, longing, grief, loss. And I wonder if you're experiencing those feelings. As the picture that the Lord has given me is about his tears falling from heaven to earth, I thought I'd do a bit of research. So I found out a little bit about tears. So this is what I found out. I found that tears are the body's way of keeping our eyes moisturised and nourished. I think I knew that one. But they also help prevent infections in the eye. Apparently, tears contain natural antibiotics which help kill off bacteria and viruses on the surface of the eye. We have three types of tears, apparently: basal tears, reflex tears, and emotional tears. And basal tears are our everyday tears that coat our eyes, help our eye health and vision. They're the ones that keep our eyes constantly lubricated and helps to fight infection. Then there are reflex tears. These are the tears that we cry when we've got dust in our eyes, and these tears wash away the debris. And so they're actually part of the body's natural defence to fight bacterial infections in the eye. Then we have the tears that are the response to our emotions. And apparently these tears contain protein-based hormones, which help reduce the hormone and chemical levels in our body during extreme emotional states. So that's really interesting, that there's actually something in the tears themselves as we cry, biologically, that bring a sense of calm and healing to our emotional well-being. And that explains why it's good to have a good cry. And I'm thinking about his tears pouring on us can bless us in many ways. First of all, that sense of lubricating. So where we feel dry and worn out, they refresh us. That sense of cool water on a hot day, stopping us getting dry and worn out and parched. Then there's the tears that wash away the irritants, the debris. I wonder, what are the irritants to you in the current situation? They might be old irritants, your normal things that irritate you and annoy you, but maybe they're kind of made stronger by the fact that you're in isolation or with the same people day in, day out, and you can't get out, or maybe you get irritated when you see people not following the rules. And a lot of irritation can be quite distressing. So we might want to think of God's tears as helping to wash away that irritant, like dust in our eye. You know, because actually that hurts if you get dust in your eye. But to have tears to wash that away is really helpful. And then the emotional tears, with those special hormones to calm us down. I wonder if you need the tears to calm you down. Maybe you're feeling really frustrated. Maybe you're feeling afraid. Maybe you're feeling stressed, depressed. Let the tears of God pour down upon you and bring peace. And of course, God's tears are coming from heaven. So they're coming from the place of peace and joy and life and vibrancy. As it were, we're getting a piece of heaven in every one of God's tears dropping upon us. A bit of heaven coming into our homes, into our hospitals, to our shops, into our care homes, places of work, on our walks, in our relationships, in our families and in our bodies. A bit of heaven coming down. So how can we respond to that? Well, I always think that using our imagination is really great to connect with those pictures. So if you've got your bowl of cool water handy, you might want to just drop some of that water onto the back of your hand so you can feel the drops soothing of those tears. You might want to take a sponge and just soothe your forehead. Use your imagination to see the tears of God dropping on your hands. And whilst you're doing it, it may be that you feel you need to feel refreshment and healing and the removal of debris in your life. Or maybe you want to hold up somebody else and you want them to experience that. So in a sense, you're doing this as a prayer for others. Take time now to imagine those tears of God falling. And if you want to use any of these physical or sensory ways to help you imagine that, take a moment now to do so.
As we reflect now on the situations people are facing all over the world during this COVID-19 pandemic, and as I read Bible verses expressing God's compassion for us and describing his tears falling from heaven to earth, you can speak out your own situations and names of the people that you know. Drip water on your hands as you imagine and contemplate with me Father God's tears dropping from heaven to our suffering world. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. Judah has gone into exile under affliction. For these things I weep. My eyes run down with tears. Let the tears of God fall upon all those who are struggling with lockdown and self-isolation. For those who have lost their jobs, lost income. For those who experience loneliness and fear. May the tears of Father God soothe and comfort. My heart cries out for Moab. Therefore I weep with the weeping of Jazer. I drench you with my tears. My soul moans like a lyre for Moab and my heart for Kir Hares. Let the tears of God fall upon key workers. Those who feel pressured and overwhelmed, may his tears cool hot faces and calm their stress. Let my eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For my dearly beloved people have been crushed with a heavy blow and with a sorely infected wound. May the tears of God fall upon those who are sick with COVID-19. May his tears from heaven bring healing, new strength, and new life in them. He has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from the suffering one. He has listened to his cry for help. May the tears of God fall upon the bereaved. May his tears of love comfort and soothe them. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. In all our affliction, he was afflicted. May his tears fall upon us, wherever we are, whatever we do, however we feel. You will be like a well-watered garden. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and her wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and sound of melody. As we draw near to Good Friday, many of you may have noticed how this depiction that we've been exploring of God's compassion in the Old Testament is like a taste of the ultimate act of a compassionate God in the suffering of Jesus on the cross. I shall be talking about the Easter story in my next podcast.